Welcome to the Scuffed Podcast. I'm Adam Bells in Minneapolis. With me is Greg Velasquez in Des Moines. We talk about U.S. men's soccer. Three-zero to the Young Yanks over Bolivia. Let's hash it out, Greg. Happy Memorial Day. How you doing?
I'm good, Bells. I'm marking my calendar for Victory Parade in December 2022. Yes. This team looked unstoppable.
Yes. Yeah. Well, let's start with the caveats. This was a very bad Bolivia team. It was a B team, maybe even a C team, mostly domestic players. And the four best teams in Bolivia are in the playoffs right now in their domestic league. So none of the players from those teams joined this roster. So let's just get that out of the way. Bad Bolivia team. Let's not read too much into anything that happened.
Yeah, they looked like they were trying out for Bolivia's C team, and I don't know that any of them are going to get callbacks.
Yeah, it was bad. We talked about this a little bit before we started recording, but it was kind of hard to tell whether the U.S. was pressing the way they were against Paraguay because Bolivia was so bad.
Yeah, usually when you're watching for a press, you're looking for like a coordination between the defense, between our lines. All right, well, on the trigger, how do we move as a coordinated unit? And a lot of times the turnover might happen after one or two passes once you start the press. And here, Bolivia was just so eager to just do nothing with the ball. I honestly don't know if they look competent at any moment or at any place on the field. It was sub-January camp competition.
Yeah, it really was. But that's a perfect opportunity for Sarakin to play a young lineup, and he did that as expected. And he did what we expected by playing Pulisic as a central attacking midfielder next to Joe Corona in a 4-1-4-1. We had some concerns about Pulisic as the 10. I think you said you were afraid he'd run riot over an undermanned Bolivia side and he'd be etched in stone as the 10. For the rest of his days. That didn't really happen.
No, Pulisic honestly resembled like 99% of American citizens at 7 p.m. on Monday, Memorial Day weekend. He looked like he was cashed out. It had been a long, you know, I mean, it just, he didn't look invested. It was very much an exhibition in his body language.
Yeah, he spent all day on a boat or something out on Lake Minnetonka, 95 degree heat.
I wish I knew more Pennsylvania physical features because I'd pull out whatever Pennsylvania lakes I knew.
Yeah, I think they mostly have rivers.
All right, Lake Erie. He was on the canal.
Just took the chopper across state.
So yeah, I mean he was largely ineffective. It was the exact opposite of what I worried about. I honestly was going to tell you like when the lineup came out, I was like, Pulisic will have a hand in four goals and everyone will talk about how this is why you have to play him in the middle of the field. Now I feel like everyone's just resorting to the built-in excuse of he was tired. And so it's not going to have the opposite effect where no one's saying Pulisic looked out of place or Pulisic wasn't able to be dangerous. He wasn't dynamic because they're all just reverting back to long season, too tired, no motivation, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Which those might be the case. I just think there's no critical analysis any of his actual use in that scenario or in that formation.
Yeah, I do think the context of him coming off a long season and obviously not caring about this game. I mean, you could tell in his body language he wasn't going after 50-50 balls. He didn't have that burst that he has even in a bad game for Dortmund.
Sure, but Weston McKennie didn't just get done with a vacation. You know, I mean,
yeah, Weston McKennie's a future captain of the U.S. men's national team. I've been saying it for years, not for years, for months, for months. I think Weston McKennie is a different animal, and he's had a highly uplifting last few months of the season with Schalke.
And that's totally fair. I'm just saying that nobody's looking through McKennie's performance through any kind of a lens of, he just got off of a long season. Let's forgive any mistakes he's made.
That's true.
You know, people are very much talking about the soccer he played today.
Yeah, so you want to kind of hold Christian Pulisic accountable here? Do you have a?
I think you should. There should at least be some eye towards, was he effective doing the things that he was being asked to do as a. I don't know if you'd call him a 10. I think that he was being played as a 10 in a 4-1-4-1, which again, you're sort of making all these tactical concessions to put him in the middle. I do think you need to actually look at his play within that formation and see if it was effective.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. It definitely
played to his strengths even.
It's almost gotten boring how often we say it, but we don't think he's a 10. He didn't look like a 10 tonight. He didn't have a hand in any of the three goals. He didn't have a hand in anything that was even dangerous. So, I don't know. New coach is going to have his own ideas about what should happen with Christian Pulisic. And tonight certainly wasn't an argument to keep him at the 10.
He's being asked to work really hard to get on the ball. I feel like, you know, I mean, he's got to like really, you know, be working in a rotation with Corona and McKennie, which, you know, is fine. It's just, that means he's picking the ball up in spots that aren't necessarily the ideal spots for him to be dangerous. And he turns into more of like a keep possession in the center of the field. The only times I remember him getting it and really being able to drive forward were when he floated out to the wing.
Yep.
That's honestly like what I took from it was he looked so much more comfortable when he floated to the wing. So if you want to say, yeah, we'll put him as the 10 and then give him license to float to the wing, okay, I guess. But it just seemed like he was expending a lot of energy for very little payoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And he's, you know, he as part of that three-man midfield, he has some responsibility to track back and win the ball, which is not really his strong suit. Whatever, you know.
And it sounds like he probably won't, or a lot of speculation that he won't actually be a part of the rosters overseas in the next two friendlies, which again, that's all fine. It just, I really am eager to see how he fits in with like Tyler Adams back in the mix and to see if we're really stuck on him in the middle or if we're just trying out different things. And obviously we're both, I think, hoping it's the latter.
Yes, indeed. Let's sort of rough out the rest of the lineup and kind of work through some of the performances. That's what everybody's interested in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Sarakin did a back line that surprised me. I mean, and you and I both wanted to see Robinson at left back, and we got to see that. And there's plenty to say about that, I think. And that would have necessitated Lehigh at right back, and that also happened. The center back pairing was surprising. It was Walker Zimmerman at right center back and Eric Palmer Brown at left center back. They didn't have anything to do all night, really.
Right. Yeah, it was really they were as much as spectators as you could be in a international game.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's some speculation that they got to start this game because Miazga and CCV are going to be starting, you know, in a few days against Ireland. And that would make sense. Zimmerman probably's head back to Los Angeles to join his MLS team.
Yeah, and Zimmerman starting with in Bono starting as well. That makes it's like the only reason you should call them away from their MLS sides is if you're actually going to play him. It wouldn't have made sense to not be playing Zimmerman. And again, Eric, I mean, to play Palmer Brown, you could have played anyone in the pool in this game, and I don't think it would have mattered at center back.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have brought in Omar. Could have brought in Omar for a testimonial.
I mean, no, they didn't have to be particularly clean. I know there were a couple of passes you could pick out from, like, I know Zimmerman had a couple where he threaded a ball through the lines and was able to skip a line and not just have to play McKennie. But, you know, they were under little to no pressure at any point. It was a glorified training session, so I'm not going to jump to any conclusions on people moving up in the pecking order based on this game.
Let's start with Robinson. For me, it's hard to give man of the match to anybody but Weston McKennie. We'll get to that later. But Robinson was caught a lot of people's attention tonight. He was strong. He's fast. It's really difficult to be 1v1 for these vaunted Bolivian attackers. He's more technical. I think it's fair to say he's more technical than Yedlin, but has a lot of the looks a lot the part of a DeAndre Yedlin, except on the opposite side. Did he? And he got the assist on the Weah goal, which was a nice ball across.
That was the lone banger, I think.
Yeah, this is a bang, small B banger.
Robinson did look good, and Robinson looked good because he actually had something to showcase. Palmer Brown and Zimmerman as center backs, like, they had nothing where they could really prove themselves. Zimmerman with a nice goal, so he at least sort of makes a case of being potentially valuable on set pieces. But Robinson actually showed off what, I mean, his strength was, I think, his ability to get forward. That's sort of his differentiator. And that was definitely in evidence tonight. So Robinson did help himself, I think, a little just to say, hey, this is the style of fullback I am. This is what you would get with me. We have no idea if he can pair that with legit actual defending because he never had to defend.
He had to defend a little bit, and he was pretty – I thought he was very comfortable in that role. I know some people are saying he was out of position a few times, maybe, but – you know, he clearly has developed some of the basic skills of shutting down an attacking winger. He knows how to use his body. He's fast.
Yeah. He has a lot of great tools. I'm also not trying to sound like overly like unimpressed with anybody. I've talked before about my hope is that Robinson nails down the left back spot for 10 years. He's 20 years old. We've never really had a nailed on left defender. So I'm hoping he does. And there was nothing that he did tonight where you're like, oh, no, he just won't. There's no way he can be the guy. I think it was a very encouraging performance from Robinson. And we've talked about this, I think, really early in the year after the January camp, where when you're playing like a January friendly, or you're playing in an off-year Gold Cup and the competition is very weak, you don't get to choose who you're playing against. So if you want to stand out in that game, you really need to look like you're just toying with the other team. Like, you need to look like they aren't even close to you. And there were plenty of times where Robinson kind of did that tonight. So that's sort of the box you have to check. And so I think he did that successfully.
Yeah. A couple times where he breezed forward past a couple of defenders with the ball or without it. And I like the way he handles a situation with his back to the defender, you know, as he's tracking down a ball. He has some tricks up his sleeve, and
he really does. And I thought he showed some good ideas even in the attack, where you can see him essentially look at something and then look it off as the play develops. So he's not just sort of locked in, and he doesn't have like blinders on going forward. He really can, I think, adjust his play within the moment. And that's going to be super useful for somebody who's bombing forward. And man, did he just bomb forward, didn't he?
Yeah.
There were a couple of transition moments where he wins the ball or knocks the ball to somebody, and then he just doesn't even look to get it back right there. He's like, no, I'm going to get it back 75 yards from here. And he looks like he's running a 100-meter race with his posture.
He does. Just, very upright.
Yes, just off he goes.
Yeah, there was one play where he carried the ball himself up the left wing, beat two defenders just with, you know, basic athleticism. And then, you know, instead of banging across, he just played a nice little square ball to Josh Sargent. It's not like some world-class moment, but it was productive. You know, so what resulted from this run forward was something productive. Josh Sargent with the ball at his feet, 22 yards from goal. What happened next was Sargent tried to play a 1-2 with Pulisic, and Pulisic couldn't get it back to him, which was kind of a theme.
He's had a long season.
He's tired. Yeah.
I'm not trying to be harsh on Pulisic either. I could care less that he looked poor tonight. Like,
yeah, it really doesn't matter.
We know what he's capable of.
Right.
Robinson, good showing. I feel like that's a good debut, and I feel like everyone will be excited to see him included in the lineup again the next time he is.
Yeah. Is he going to be on the plane to Dublin? I mean, he lives just across the, what do they call that? The Irish Sea or something?
Bells, I already told you about my geography, Bells. It doesn't improve the farther east you go.
Fair enough. There's a body of water between Ireland and Liverpool that isn't very large.
Yeah, but Robinson's got to go, right? Like, who else are you going to put on that plane? Like, it's Viafania and it's Robinson at this point, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Until Robinson completely, like, shows he can't do it, there's no one else who's staked a claim.
Let's talk about the right back, Eric Lehigh, briefly. Did he do anything to sort of change our perspective on him?
I mean, the guy didn't suddenly get 5 years younger, unfortunately for him. No, I mean, there's nothing Lehigh can show you that that you're going to be like, okay, maybe he can be Yedlin's backup. Or, I mean, he's not pushing Yedlin, I don't think, for 2022. So, no, Lehigh was he did a great job as the leader of the group, and it was hopefully a good experience for him, and thank you very much for, you know, your service. But no, I don't think Lehigh is, elbowing his way into the picture long term, or even, you know, meaningful games short term.
Yeah, he may be the backup in these next two friendlies for Yedlin, but hopefully somebody else emerges. I mean, for the purposes of this match, it's good to have some variables constant on the back line, and he was definitely that sort of known quantity that allowed Sarakin and the rest of us to assess the performance of the other guys.
Right. If Bolivia had been able to threaten, it would have been essentially a bad test for Eric Palmer Brown and Zimmerman if you'd started Olasunde and he'd just been, if he gets carved up constantly, you don't necessarily get a great look at Zimmerman and Palmer Brown. So I think Lehigh was a good, steady, reliable player to sit next to Zimmerman and EPB to get that kind of test. Again, Bolivia wasn't able to actually create any real tests, but that from a manager standpoint, I think that's the right thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bono, he didn't have anything to do. I wasn't impressed with him because I didn't like the way he was with the ball at his feet. It seemed like he was a little bit too nervous with the ball at his feet for the type of contest he was in. He just was banging it long. But that's
Did that seem like it was more the case early on in the game? I don't know if we're seeing the same thing here.
Maybe it was more the case early on in the game.
He just started to see it less and less. I honestly thought early on our shape was a little bit poor building out of the back, which would be mostly on Zimmerman and Palmer Brown. I thought we at times were sort of creating unnecessary pressure on ourselves because of our poor starting position. So if you're knocking it back to Bono and we're not shaped very well to play out of the back, especially for a relatively inexperienced goalkeeper, like that clock in your head starts ticking really fast and you're like, get this off my foot.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I just noticed a couple times McKenny showed for the ball in the middle of the park and Bono just wouldn't pass it to him, just wanted to kick it long. And
okay.
I thought maybe he had the yips from a couple weeks back for Toronto when he tried to play a ball through the middle and got, paid for it.
Yeah.
But whatever.
But yeah, Bono, I mean, nothing to do really. I'm sure he's still in the top four or five of the rotation that we seem to have going on here.
We had all these other plans about moving down from best to least good performance, but why don't we just stick with what
Move
we're doing here
back to front.
Yeah
No, I'm good with it because the next one's gonna be one of our favorites to talk about.
Yep. The lining up at the six was Weston McKennie, not usually his position for Schalke, although he has played there some. How did you think he played?
So I thought McKennie was in the first half like the classiest player on the field. Like, you could just tell he didn't have much to do because he's playing the six. He's protecting a back line that required zero protecting. But every time that any, like, you could just tell the way he moves, the efficiency he has, either intercepting a ball, into taking his first touch, into laying it off or moving it to wherever it needed to go next. Like, everything is just so fluid and efficient that you, I mean, you can just literally tell within seconds that he's on a different level than anyone else on the field. That was my take on McKennie.
Yeah, no, I agree. I thought he looked huge out there too, which I haven't noticed watching him in the Bundesliga. So maybe it's just like the players are smaller in this in this game, but he looked like a machine out there. In addition to being all the things that you just said, like fluid and pretty clean on the ball. Yeah, I guess that's what a year in the Bundesliga does for you. Not just a year in the Bundesliga, but like a year playing in the center of the midfield for the second best team in the Bundesliga. He did look a class above most of the players on the field. Well, everybody basically.
That was my take on it, and it was again so apparent. So yeah, McKennie. I mean, I don't think there was much doubt certainly here. But, you know, he is still a 19-year-old who has only a few caps on it. But he's starting in our center midfield until we host in 2026 and beyond.
Yeah, he was dominant, I would say, in the first half. And for big parts of the second half, too. Not just an enforcer, but – and you really saw that enforcer part of his game today. I would say he was even a little bit reckless. He did get a yellow card.
The dude looked like he was kind of having a little bit of fun with some of those like tackles, and that yellow card was. I mean, that was a bad challenge for a friendly game. That's like a pretty bad challenge. I don't know if I should be laughing or not, but
yeah, it was a bad challenge, and there was a bad challenge in the first half that he got called for a foul for. That could have been a yellow card easily, I think. Where he sort of like, he got his right foot in front of the guy, but
and then just brought
his left foot right through. Yeah, right. I mean, didn't, and he pulled up a little bit, but not too much on that tackle.
Maybe he was given a green light, sort of be the enforcer, and he sure seemed to be enjoying that role.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to come in big time handy in World Cup qualifying. I think so long as he doesn't get sent off.
Right. But that's the beauty of it is McKennie doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's like going to get be an emotional, like he's not going to get goaded into some of those CONCACAF confrontations where everything's so emotionally charged and he retaliates his way into a red card, you know, like.
Right.
That doesn't seem like his personality. I know there was one exchange where a dude shoved him today, two open-handed shove after a free kick where he kind of came up to sort of delay the Bolivian retaking of the free kick. He got a shove and it sure didn't look like he was like going to puff his chest out and get all tough about it.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to Altidore the situation.
Right. And I noticed that he was in sort of a constant conversation with the ref, but he has a way about him where it's not adversarial so much as like, he's beseeching the ref constantly in sort of a friendly way.
Right, like we're all in this together, buddy. Like,
yeah, right. Come on, you know, you and me. You and me, we go back.
After everything we've been through? Yeah. So, I think he's a great candidate for captain, center of the field. Sure seems like he's got a good mentality.
Not a big fan of that hairstyle, to be honest with you.
Oh, I liked it.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so but here's the thing. So he's playing in the six. We don't have a ton of options at the six who aren't named Michael Bradley. Like, is he the six? Is that where he's best? Is that where we need him the most? Like, what's going on with that?
Man, I don't know. Certainly looked good today. There's so much that has to shake out in our midfield, I think, over the next year or two. Like, is Adams good enough to play in the midfield on a regular basis? I still don't know if I think he is. Is Keaton Parks going to sort of keep growing and get a regular first team gig at Benfica? Is one of these young guys that we talk about too much going to emerge as a 10 or even a playmaking 8. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think he's the 6 now?
No, man, I'm with you. I don't think there's any reason to like pin anyone into a spot in center midfield other than starting or not starting. He might end up being our best option for 6, or that might be the best for the team. But I don't think you, even if he does really well in the next two friendlies in a similar role, I don't think there's any reason to pin him there. He is potentially like our best center midfielder. And make sure you put him in a place where he can thrive the most, not just a place where he's better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the whole Pulisic dilemma, to be honest, just one level lower.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have somebody else as the 6 and McKennie and, somebody else as dual 8s.
McKennie and Adams. Like, that's what we want to get to, right?
Yeah, right.
All right. So, okay, so good, excellent performance from McKennie. Not necessarily a difficult one, but one that he looked really classy in, and no need to necessarily lock him in as the number 6.
Yep. Agreed. Already talked about Pulisic a lot. Looked tired, looked like he didn't care, and in our opinion was out of position. Joe Corona, what do you make of his performance?
I thought Corona was another like solid placeholder in a game that wasn't gonna, there was no way anyone was gonna be terribly exposed. I thought he was asked to do a lot. It looked like he was essentially asked to play as an 8. There were long stretches where we were defending sort of in, not long stretches, I'm sorry, but several occasions where we were kind of falling into it looked like a 4-4-1-1, where Corona dropped down onto McKennie's level and was defending like they were just two center mids with Pulisic ahead of him. But then there were plenty of other times where you did see Corona have to go up and defend much higher up the field with Sargent. So Corona was essentially doing like a Michael Bradley job, I thought, and I thought he did pretty well.
Yeah, he played pretty well. I will say there's like nothing less threatening in global football than Joe Corona dribbling at the top of the box and taking a shot. It's like when you see him start to wind up, I'm like, oh man, there is no way that's going in the goal.
I'm always hoping for like a disguised slipped ball into somebody, but it's never happened.
Yeah. There were a lot of shots from distance tonight from various individuals that in retrospect seemed ill-advised.
But for almost every single one of those, there was either a forward or a winger who was making the run in, who gave the trademark like arms, like the angry arms, because they yep. could have been slipped in with a little disguised ball. But I don't think anyone was looking for that.
Yeah.
Or just lack the nuance.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if McKennie had been there with the ball at his feet, he might have played that pass, but
not. It's like that'd be like a Delgado pass, just because I feel like Delgado's always thinking pass first and then would reluctantly take a shot if he had to.
Right.
But yeah, Corona's solid in what he was asked to do. He's not, I still don't think he's going to like bully his way into the first team of a World Cup cycle. He'll be like a Lehigh, a solid guy you can call on when not everyone's available.
Yep. Nothing wrong with that. The wingers, things start to get a little more interesting, I think. The wingers were Weah on the right, Timmy Weah on the right, 18 years old, made his PSG debut last weekend, I believe. And not debut, his
starting
first
debut.
Start.
First
yeah.
start, yep.
And then Rubio Rubin, who's been a bench option for Tijuana at left wing. Maybe we start with Rubin.
Rubin, I thought in the first half was the most dynamic player we had. I thought he looked like he had a ton of good ideas. He was slashing in with the ball, cutting in, picking out good passes when he would slash in, including like nice curled balls around to either Weah or Krohn, like on the opposite side. Which again, that's sort of the job in a, when you're playing a Bolivian amateur side, you have to look like that. Otherwise, I feel like you're in trouble. So he did that. The other thing I kept thinking while I was watching him, besides, hey, good job, Rubio, is how great would it be if this were Pulisic getting the ball in these spots, cutting in and being super dynamic?
Yeah, yeah.
So to bring it back to that.
Right. Not to beat a dead horse. I gave him top billing in the first half as our most effective player. His second half was really bad, though. He kind of fell off a cliff around the 50th minute in terms of his form. He's probably not fit for 90-minute game, you know, given... I mean, seriously, he hasn't played...
I'm with you.
Yeah.
That sequence where he, like, looked really threatening, but somehow managed to actually, like, go down twice of his own accord, that's, like, textbook. Legs have gone. The, like, fatigue set in.
And Sarakin left him on for, like, another 10, maybe 15 minutes after that. I was like, he did, like, a bunny hop over the ball. Just out of nowhere, and then he like, you know, he dragged the ball to the end line and put his left foot on it and then just fell over it, and because I think he was trying to drag it back again.
Yeah, he had run out of steam.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's still not a bad outing for him altogether, because I don't think I mean he's shown he has value. He can be dynamic. He doesn't have to be a guy you're going to start, but he could be a guy you have available off a bench when you need a little bit more. I don't know if I want to say inventiveness, but I feel like he's a much different kind of a player than like our historical wide attackers, like the Areolas and the Bedoyas. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't seem like those guys, right? Like, he looked, even on the ball, he could get by people.
Yeah. No, I mean, particularly in the first half, that was really encouraging. And he played that pass to Weah, that for Weah's big chance in the first mm-hmm. half. And it was a really decisive action by Rubin. I think it was one of those penetrating Zimmerman balls from center back. He came in and chested it sort of horizontally across the field, and then just, you know, his one touch was chesting it. The second touch was a, you know, an inch perfect through ball to Weah. And
yeah, it's inch perfect with the Bolivian caveat that this is like, it reminded me of college quarterbacks versus NFL quarterbacks, where college quarterback highlights, they hit that 45-yard pass to a wide receiver and there are no defenders in the screen. That's kind of what it looked like there. The window was enormous.
That's true. Inch perfect is not the right word. It was a yard perfect.
He put it on a platter for Weah to have his way with it, and
it was in stride. Know. It was in stride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was a great pass. I just mean it was hard to not put it somewhere where Weah could really have a go.
Right. I will say, despite all that, despite all the good stuff he did in the first half, he never really moved the needle for me. I mean, he didn't ever really come close to scoring or getting an assist, except for that one pass to Weah. I mean, that probably should have been an assist.
Yeah, that's going to go down as a key pass.
Yeah. But other than that, there was some brightness and the stuff we've been talking about, but it didn't really move the needle, I don't think. That's my opinion.
All right. I'm going to dissent. I thought for Rubio Rubin, that, again, the opposition was weak, but that's the case Rubin needed to make to sort of stay in the discussion with the Kenny Seff and hopefully soon a Jonathan Amon and Tim Weah.
Okay. I mean that was one of the big questions that we talked about last week, is can the wingers generate danger? That's the test for them with Pulisic in the middle of the field.
Right.
And I guess they did. They did generate some danger, but I would have liked to see us score 10 goals.
You know, it's ridiculous, and we'll get into it, I'm sure, with the when we get to the goal scorers. But for as comfortable as that looked and everything, the goals themselves were a bit fluky.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll say fluke. Yeah, I mean, one of them for sure. But
well, the Sargent goal was for sure a fluke.
Right, yeah. So that again, the score shapes the narrative so much, where 3-0, everything's comfortable and no one's got any issues with anything. You know, if we don't score in a set piece or have their goalkeeper make the third worst mistake a goalkeeper made over the weekend, like that's a completely different, you know, the narrative is a lot different.
Yeah. Could have easily been 1-0, a 1-0 win. I mean, we dominated, but
right.
So
I thought we dominated against Paraguay too, and everyone's narrative there wasn't like a glowing review of the game. Anyway, that's my goals set the narrative
critique.
Yeah, gripe that I have every friendly.
The title is the title of your new monograph. I feel like there's sort of two camps in Wea from today. One camp says, you know, he was arguably man of the match, involved in everything, and involved in a lot of the attacks, and obviously got that nice goal. The other camp is like, he's, you know, he's just too raw in the attacking third still. He's a promising player, but like, let's just tap the brakes here. Which camp do you fall into?
Well, I kind of agree with both of them. I thought he was really dangerous. I thought he actually combined pretty well and was looking to. So his movement, like immediately after he'd released the ball, I thought was really sharp. The part where I think he's still really raw is his finishing. And we've seen it at PSG too, where, you know, that's not an unfamiliar sight, way out in on goal, and then not turning it into a goal. And it looks like, you know, did he really have a plan for how he was going to score that goal? Like, that's what I'm always looking for from strikers, is do they have a plan to score? Or is it just like, I'm in, I'm going to hit, smash it, and, you
hope
know,
it goes in.
Yeah, like, hope it ends up someplace where the goalie isn't. But I didn't see him, like, pick his head up and, like, decide how he was going to beat that goalkeeper and then do it. And I feel like that's what the best strikers, like, instinctively do it enough where they don't even – it just looks like all one motion, but – no, Wea looks like he needs some improvement in that, in his actual finishing touch.
Yeah, finishing touch either as a goal scorer or as a passer in the attacking third, I think both. I mean, you know, and let's be honest, that's like the hardest part of the game, or one of the hardest parts of the game. Yeah, I agree that his movement off the ball is so intelligent and quick. You know, mm-hmm. there was a moment early in the game where he won a long ball with his head and flicked it on to Sargent, and Sargent did some good stuff in the hold up and then just like and tapped it to Wea down the wing. Do you remember this play? And then Wea played it across to tried to hit Rubin, but Rubin was a little bit indecisive on his whether he was going to go near post or far post, and he just didn't get to it. Also, not a you know, I don't know. Is that ball Wea's fault or is it Rubin's fault? We can figure that out. But the point I'm trying to make is Rubin really, like when he headed that ball to Sargent, he just immediately turned and ran so decisively. And it seems like he's doing that all the time. He's always moving well off the ball. But you know, his finishing touch isn't there. And I'm not sure he's really that much of a problem solver on the ball, period. That's sort of the criticism I've had of him for a while now. He doesn't beat anybody one-on-one, but I'm not sure he even like can hit a creative pass. He did those quick little 1-2s with Sargent, which were nice, but those are almost like robotic. You know, Sargent plays a pass to me, I just immediately pass it back to him. I'd like to see a little bit more problem-solving capability from him before I anoint him as the, you know, the next great American winger.
Sure. I get you on that. And, you know, he's what I'm excited about is just, again, similar to Rubin, but I think Wea is a much better prospect of it, is he's just such a different winger than all of the non-Pulisic wingers that we've employed in the past. That's enough for me right now to be pretty excited about. Like, what if we actually have somebody who is a threat? And he's a threat with his movement into big spaces, like what you're talking about, where he heads it to flicks on a sergeant, and then he makes, what was that? That's like a 30-yard run forward.
Yeah.
And then he's also, his movement and burst is really dangerous in the box when he's in the box and he connects to sergeant's feet and then takes off. Like, this is just, we haven't really had that player in ages.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Can you, like, get with a coach and figure out how to just get better at beating people on the dribble? Or is that, like, something that you basically learn when you're 12?
Yeah, no, I don't think a lot of people add that to their game.
Post 15?
Yeah, post, I mean, basically post, like, and signing a contract.
Yeah.
With a first team. I don't know. I'm trying to think of an example of somebody who suddenly became a consistent, trickier, successful dribbler. Yeah.
Well, really encouraging night for him, no doubt about it. Great to see him get the goal. I mean, that was another example of his decisive movement in the box. Because I watching the replay, it didn't even look like the defender wasn't as alert as he could have been. But it wasn't like he completely lost him. It's just the timing was perfect on the run.
Timing's perfect. Excellent burst. And then on that one, shaped his body and his feet. I mean, that's the fun stuff. Like, that's where you can tell people are having fun. And it's just like a joyful goal.
Yeah. Great ball. Great finish.
Yeah, give me a ton of those, please.
All right. Lined up as the number 9, Joshua Sargent. We both wanted to see him. I think a lot of people did. Ivakovic wasn't overly impressive in his cameo against Paraguay. And we got to see him. I thought he played really well.
Yeah, man. Like, there's – and for me, it's again, comparing to what else we have. So you think about what Bobby Wood looked like. I don't think there's any question that this performance was a much better performance than what Bobby Wood gave us. In March. You're going to disagree with me, Bill?
No doubt about it. I mean, who could disagree with that? I mean, the competition was worse, I think that's fair to say, tonight than it was against Paraguay. But, I mean, Sargent can hold the ball up and he can connect passes in ways that I don't think Bobby Wood can. I think the big question tonight was, would Sargent look like an adult out there? And I think he did. You know, he looked as much like an adult as anybody, except for maybe McKenney.
Yeah, for somebody coming in a little bit cold to the U.S. national team who didn't know a bunch, you wouldn't say, oh, that's definitely the guy who's never played a professional minute.
No.
I mean, there's no way that would be a conclusion you would draw from Sargent tonight.
Yeah. He had a couple chances that I in an ideal world he would have put away. But and then he was gifted that goal by the keeper, so justice was served. Great first touch on that from him, though. You know?
Yeah, even that was actually pretty. Like, I mean, that's clever. That was clever, and it was well, pretty technical. And but yeah, that was Bolivia in a nutshell tonight.
Yeah. I really liked the way he combined with Wea on that on. One of those two shots from the right side of the box that got deflected. In the left channel, he got the ball maybe like 35 yards from goal, takes a couple touches around a defender, and then like winds up like he's going to take a hit, and then just plays a neat little pass to Wea, continues his run, Wea taps it back to him, and he has a rip. I just love that cleanliness with the ball. Makes me very excited about Sargent.
Yeah, and again, it just shows an idea. It's not just like a blunt instrument trying to smash through and just be like, I'll just, you know, when he's taking that windup, that could very easily be the direction he goes. Mm-hmm. But to adapt in the moment and say, all right, because of how the defense has shifted, there's something else that I should actually do instead. Like, that is really important to see. So Josh Sargent, I mean, you feel like he's got to be starting in the next two friendlies, right?
I mean, I sure hope he's on the plane to Dublin. He's got nothing else to do, right?
Right.
And yeah, if it's him or Novakovic or Wood, it's got to be Sargent. He's at least got to be in the on as a sub and ideally starting, which is so weird because he's still never played a professional minute of soccer. But here we are.
They made a good point, though. Jordan Morris started like 10 games when he was still at Stanford, scored some goals for the U.S. Again, it's the coach's job to be able to rate the player, like rate the player. If you've seen him play and you've seen Novakovic play and we've all seen Bobby Wood play, like those are the guys who are available. Like who's going to be more effective? Sure looks like it could be Josh Sargent for these next few games.
Yeah, I think it's clear he would be the most effective of that threesome. Matt Doyle was tweeting some anonymous Twitter account saying he's going to be the first choice striker at Bremen this fall. So take that for what it's worth.
Right, that would be awesome. I know you've talked to him in the past about how they've said they're standing pat with their in the transfer market. Even with that stuff, I'm just really skeptical. That can be as much of a negotiating ploy to make sure that if they are going to buy a forward, teams don't think they're desperate to sign a forward. So I'm very much just like just the same way with rumored transfers. Like I'll believe it when I see both teams have announced it on their Twitter accounts. So
yeah, let's check back in September.
You're right. I'm hopeful that they don't make a bunch of moves for forwards, and I'm hopeful that Sargent's the guy. But certainly for the U.S. national team, in the moment now, Sargent. Do you think anyone at this point is saying he shouldn't start the Ireland friendly?
I think there are probably going to be people who say that. You know,
make a case for another striker, Bells.
Well, the argument would be, well, Novakovic hasn't gotten as much of a run out as Sargent. The competition that Bolivia offered was, you know, not a rigorous test. Novakovic should get a start, see how he does. I mean, that would be the argument. I'm not saying it's a good one, but that's... And, you know, Bobby Wood's a decorated goal-scoring U.S. national team striker. He's still... deserves the spot. That would be the other argument. I don't agree with those arguments, Greg. Don't get mad at me.
I'm just trying to imagine, because there were people saying you shouldn't start now, and I actually get that argument, but I feel like once you saw him play, like I'm trying to imagine anyone who was saying that he shouldn't have gotten called up because he hasn't played a professional minute, seeing that game and then saying, I still don't think he should play in the next friendly. Like we should play someone who has done worse than him instead.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. I strongly suspect that there will be people who say it for various reasons, but I think you should start. You've got me convinced. I've been one of the earliest passengers on the Sargent hype train for the
you
last
really are.
Year. So I'm just trying to check myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm still going to say the odds are he's going to flame out in the Bundesliga. But for the U.S. national team right now, we've watched some terrible performances at forward through March and January. So, yes, Josh Sargent starting until otherwise noted.
All right, let's talk about the subs. Keaton Parks, what did you make of him? Came on in about the 60th minute, along with Julian Green and Andrea Novakovic.
I was really excited. I think both of us were very excited to see Keaton Parks. He didn't do anything that like makes me think that he's not going to be a contributor to this team. I thought he was trying to do a little bit too much right when he got in. Mm-hmm. But even when he was trying to do too much, the guy just looks really smooth, doesn't he?
He does. I think Doyle used the word languid, which is a good word, which is a good word for him. Yeah,
that's perfect. Because and this, I'm sure this is a huge stretch, and obviously we've seen the guy play for 20 minutes. Like I was like, oh, we've got Carlos Valderrama on our team now. Like just there just didn't seem to be any, like he doesn't break a sweat. He just and I'm talking like two guys closing in on him as the ball's coming to his feet, and he just very calmly pirouettes away from them and hits the next pass. I liked him, man.
Yeah, me too. I love his side-footed technique. I'm gonna have that engraved on my gravestone. He loved Keaton Parks's side-footed technique. It's so clean and like precise. But yeah, I thought he looked really good. I'm gonna go ahead and beat this dead horse again. Would have been nice to see him for a longer stretch and have Pulisic on one of the wings. No offense to Weah and Rubin, but that's okay. But
that's why you have three friendlies. So as long as in one of these friendlies he gets like a start in either a full game or, you know, 75 minutes, then all will be forgiven for just the 20-minute cameo here.
Right. Right. Well, Julian Green, what did you make of him?
He reminded me a lot of like a Juan Agudelo. Like he actually looks, I thought he looked really good on the ball as far as like his, the way he would collect it. But like Agudelo, like it seems like he's either playing it too safe or like once he has the ball, you just don't expect him to actually do much with it other than, you know, pick out somebody else who's not in a threatening position. So it seems like he'd move it to somebody who was not really going to threaten yet either. So he's just sort of swinging the ball around.
Yeah, just shuttling it. Yeah, I agree. I didn't see anything from him that makes me excited about what he's going to offer. He looks like he's getting old too. I mean, he's got that Landon Donovan hairline coming in. He's only like
22.
That's all right. You know, it's not about how you look.
Hairlines. Yeah, the hairline's the secret to his power. No, I thought he looked capable. But again, it was. There wasn't anyone in this game who, like, didn't look capable other than our best player. So,
yeah, it's funny.
You had to go out of your way not to care about the game to not look capable.
Right. Novakovic, pretty limited cameo for him again. I gotta say, I don't see it. I don't see why we've sort of talked about it with Sargent. With the Sargent discussion, but I don't see why he should be ahead of Sargent in the pecking order. Maybe we'll see something from him in against Ireland or France, and that'll change my mind. But for now, he's just like one to keep an eye on, see what happens with his career. Is he going to get back with Reading? Is he going to get playing time with them? I don't know.
Yeah, never really has the look of someone who's going to like break a game open, or he doesn't necessarily combine really well. So it's like, all right, well, what is his strength that no one else offers? And again, limited minutes, but it sure looked like everything that he does, Sargent does, but better plus more.
Mm-hmm. That's how it looks to me. Olasunde and Gooch came on even later than that. I can't remember what minute, but they were the last two subs of the game. Or no, Viafania came in.
Yeah, no, I liked Olasunde. What did you think of him?
I didn't see anything good or bad really from him. You saw some good stuff?
I liked him on the ball. Like nothing he did made me think of him as an outside back, oddly enough. Like all of his movement was very not outside backish. He looked like a center midfielder a lot of the time. And even there were instances where when he would actually he bombed forward a couple times too. But he was bombing forward like almost through the like more central channel. He wasn't hugging the sideline when he'd get forward. He was getting in, and I don't know if that's by design or if he should have been hugging the sideline more, but he just looks like he's sort of drawn more to the center of the field.
Yeah, I mean that's interesting. That's good stuff. He's spent the last season with the U23s at Manchester United. We'll see what happens with his club career, because I think that will determine a lot. You want him to be on the plane to Dublin?
I wouldn't. I mean, so you assume Yedlin's first choice. So if it, we were excited about seeing Shaq Moore back in March. So if it's this kid instead, like, all right, well, let's take a look at this kid and see what he's got. So no, there's no one whose spot he'd be taking that I'd be disappointed about.
Okay. Big Velasquez vote of confidence for Olusunde. They don't come easily. They don't come cheaply, folks.
I liked it, man. I thought he was tidy with the ball at his feet.
And then finally, Gooch. I'll start on him. I thought he had kind of a bad game. He, you know, he wasted a couple chances. Probably should have passed it, and on one occasion, and blasted it over. He certainly wasn't the only one to blast a shot over tonight, but. In limited time like that, for a kid whose team has been relegated twice in 2 years, and now they're going to be playing in League One in England, and I thought I saw the headline that he's committed to them. You'd like to see him do a little better.
Yeah, the ball that fell really kindly to him where...
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Yeah, that's one.
So that's exactly where... It's a very like Americanish blunt instrument where he had it forever and there was plenty of time to decide that the shot was no longer on and that maybe in this panic moment you could pick out a player that the defense had like forgotten about in the at the far post or at the top of the, you know, I mean, any of those things. But it just, you can tell it never crossed his mind. He was only thinking like, how do I shape my body to try to get this shot off again from no angle and with three defenders and the goalkeeper and between me and the goal. So yeah, Gooch isn't, I don't think Gooch is muscling his way up the depth chart.
Yeah. I would have liked to see him start. I said that last week because of his energy and work rate, but I feel kind of silly about that now.
I mean, there's no way to have known that he was going to look like that and say Rubio or Bean looked the way he did in the first half, which, sort of to go back to Rabin, like he did have a ton of energy. There were plenty of times where he was defending really far back down the line.
That's true.
Again, almost in like that 4-4-1-1. So Rubio really did work both directions. So he wasn't like he didn't lack for energy.
That's true, and that's probably part of the reason he wore himself out so quickly. I mean, he was working his butt off in that first half, especially.
Yeah, Gooch is, I mean, he'll be take it or leave it for any camp where we're, I mean, again, these are games we're bringing in like half a squad at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With player availability.
And Viafania had a, you know, very limited cameo. He's the one who played the ball across that fell kindly to Gooch. So it was a nice pass.
Yeah, it really was actually. Now, yeah, I'm thinking about that. He really does hit a good, like, purposeful cross. Like, I feel like he knew where he was trying to curl that ball to.
Gooch probably should have one-timed it, really, right? Just, well, Delgado'd it right over the crossbar.
The answer is yes, because it's a friendly and you have this perfect opportunity to hit an incredible highlight goal. So, yes, you definitely take your chance at that.
But other than that moment from Viafania, he's kind of in the not applicable category in terms of ranking him.
Sure, but play that out like as a per 90 minute stat, and Viafania's making 75 key passes in that game.
Indisputable. How do you rate Sarakin's performance tonight?
Same as Paraguay, man. Like, he just, the fact that he called these guys up gets him the high marks, because he essentially signals his intention there, where we are going to be playing these kids. What was the roster age? 22, the average age. I think it made sense to start Lehigh where he started. I think it made sense to start Corona, given some of the other pieces he was using. So I think Sarakin is putting these guys in positions where they can be evaluated, where they have the chance to succeed, and if they don't, it's sort of on them. So, yeah, Sarakin's doing exactly what he should be doing for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, other than Pulisic at the 10, I have very little to quibble with. No, he's still very much convinced that he should not be the long-term coach, even though it seems that he wants that job. But he's doing a good job.
As a caretaker, I'm more than happy with what he's doing. Again, if he had just the fact that the rosters he's calling up don't include guys like Bedoya, like Omar Gonzalez, and not because like they're bad soccer players, they might even be ahead of some of the guys they are calling up, but just because what he's doing now just seems to have more of a purpose. Like you can draw a clear line to what we're going to need to have happen for the next guy who comes in for the next 4 years of U.S. soccer.
Yeah, particularly in the case, I think in the case of Sargent and Weah, this is really helpful because, you know, a new coach coming in would have no real tape on Sargent, right? There's nothing at Bremen. It's just a bunch of U19 matches and then his performances in the Youth World Cups last year. But this gives, you know, this gives the, whoever the new coach is, hopefully who's hired in like July or August, a sense of like, hey, you know, this is what Sargent can do at this level. Sort of gives them information that's important to have going into the fall when we have just an incredibly daunting set of friendlies scheduled. Dar, I think we're playing Brazil, Argentina, Colombia.
Was England on that list?
Colombia, England, Mexico, and Italy. So it's a pretty good run of friendlies through the fall. September, October, and November.
That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Do you want to go ahead?
No, I'm with you. That is useful because it, you know, Sargent and Weah aren't really safe choices either. Like, it's not like, I mean, again, there's plenty of criticism of those call-ups. That is a bit of a risk, essentially. He's expending some political capital there to bring those guys in. So there is a certain amount of managerial courage there. And it did, I think, prove useful.
Okay, man, let's go to bed.
All right, Bells, we'll be back for the next match.
Yeah, we'll be back on Saturday. Thanks for listening, everybody. See ya.